Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. G-Love is in the house. He has recently released Fixin' to Die, a new album he made with the alternative folk roots band the Avett Brothers, who encouraged the hip-hop blues musician from Philadelphia to get back to his unvarnished country blues sound. Love's major impact was in 1994 with his self-titled debut and the song Cold Beverage, and he has continued to release albums since. He joins us solo today in front of an audience of special producers, and I ask him about working with the Avett Brothers on the album and whether they were chosen as producers to take the album in the more roots direction, if that was his idea originally.
Definitely, we want to do something different this time, and I wanted to go back to my roots as a coffee shop player and a blues man. And on all my records, I've always given a taste of that solo acoustic side, but we felt it was really time to do a whole record that represented that side of my music. So it was almost a second chance to make another first record.
Yeah. Well, also you did that album, G-Love Goes Country, which was not like an official release.
Right.
What was up with that?
Well, when we first started getting into the cycle of being a recording band, I felt like the record label couldn't keep up with how many records I want to make, because I was writing a lot and I was writing a lot of different styles, and I really found it confining when I had to wait, you know, a solid year and a half after finishing a record to start working on another one. So whenever I had a week off, we'd go in the studio and cut a record. So one time we did one called G-Love Is Going Country, and that was similar to the Fixin' to Die record. You know, again, just real stripped down, kind of rootsy, Johnny Cash flavored acoustic.
Yeah. Actually, it's available if you go to his website. That's all. That's on there. But don't want to take sales away from Fixin' to Die.
Please don't.
Which now where did the Avetts come in? Because you went to North Carolina and worked with them on this.
Right. Well, I had the opportunity to see the Avett Brothers play up in Boston, where I'm living now, and they did this amazing show at the House of Blues, and we were just really blown away by the performance. You know, it was real stripped down and real passionate. And after that, we got into their recordings, and later that summer, we ended up jamming out at a festival called the Summer Camp Festival, which Mo throws up in Wisconsin. And shortly after that, I asked them would they produce the record. I wanted to work with another musician, and I felt like, you know, Scott and Seth Avett, they're both multi-instrumentalists. They obviously have a very clear vision of what they're trying to accomplish on stage and in the studio, and you know, for me it was the perfect choice. When I wanted to go back and make this roots record, I was lucky to get 9 days when everybody could take a break from the road, and we all met down in Asheville, North Carolina, and in this old converted church called Echo Mountain Studio, and we locked ourselves in there for a week and a half, and I just made what I think is the record of my career.
It's funny because I had a chance to be in Asheville, and people took me around to Echo Mountain, and everybody there was so jazzed about the fact that you guys had done this record there. They thought it was a real special time, cool. Too. But that space, if you listen to Fixin' to Die, you probably heard it on the radio. There's all this huge stomping sound, and that's kind of the room, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of actually similar to this room in a way, with very high ceilings, and you know, it's inside a church, so I mean, it's just you know how when you go in a cathedral or a church, you get that kind of like cool, airy feeling. And then the stained glass, you know, the sunlight's filtering through the stained glass. And it's just, the minute I walked in the studio, because I didn't know what to expect, the minute I walked in, I was like, whoa, you know, something special's going to happen here.
Well, and there, I shouldn't say that there aren't originals on here. In fact, I was wondering if you could do one, which is kind of like the other side of Cold Beverage. It's like Hot Beverage. It's a milk and sugar. You're a big coffee guy?
Yeah, well, this session would always kind of start and start with coffee and end with moonshine. So I wrote this tune over the summer for my fiance, and this one's about, you know, kind of coffee and love, two things I feel like everybody needs, is addicted to, and needs a little bit of every day.
You got it.
All right, so this is milk and sugar.
Thank you. This song about coffee, y'all. Y'all like coffee? I like it too. They say the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Man, I don't know about that, but I know what I like. Milk and sugar in my cup. When I come home, won't you fill me up? My back is breaking, babe, I'm all out of luck. Won't you make my coffee strong and sweet and fill my cup? So give me that milk and sugar, baby, yeah. Milk and sugar, baby. Ooh, when I'm riding in the road, it's getting rough. Oh, she like an angel coming down from above. Give it to me now. Milk and sugar, always on my mind. While that coffee's percolating, we'll let you talk and waste some time. That road is long, and the time been hard enough. It won't take much for you to stop me, so give me that milk and sugar, baby, yeah. Milk and sugar, baby. Ooh. When I'm riding in the road, it's getting rough. Oh, she like an angel coming down from above. Give it to me now. Like it dark as night, but I like it how I like it, and she always do it right. When I'm headed in some direction that's wrong, she never let me forget where I belong. So give me that milk and sugar, baby, yeah. Milk and sugar, baby. Woo. Damn for my butt. So won't you make my coffee strong and sweet and fill my cup? Make my coffee strong and sweet and fill me up. Make my coffee strong and sweet and fill my cup. Come on, make my coffee strong, baby. Fill my cup.
Milk and sugar. Thank you.
One of the new tunes from Fixin' to Die, Milk and Sugar, G-Love, our guest today on the cafe. You know, I was thinking about the two things that have always been part of your music, this kind of, you know, old blues, really, and hip-hop. And you kind of came up in Boston, but you obviously started here in Philadelphia. You lived here. And there's always been big influences of both those things in Philly, and I'm wondering if both those things came to you here in town?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Philly's a very unique place musically. There's so much going on, you know. You know, there's so much going on in a small city, you know. When I was a kid, I grew up by South Street, so, and in the 70s, there was a real vibrant street performance art culture. There was jugglers, there was street musicians, there were there was a guy that played Mozart on the glasses.
I remember.
There's a guy, the puppeteer, that had the Jimi Hendrix and the Janis Joplin and Elton John puppets, and he'd dance them, you know, the marionettes. And there was just so much going on. And there was this guy, one guy I really remember was real old school, this guy Big Al. And he would sit out on South Street on a milk crate with spoons and a harmonica. And he would be out there. And my dad would always give me like a quarter to give in, and you know, Big Al would play like some tune, mm-hmm. you know, on the spoons and the harmonica. I mean, that's pretty old-fashioned, yeah. But so there's that, and then in high school, you know, we were going to the Philadelphia Folk Festival. So, you know, in 1988, I was a member of the Philadelphia Folk Song Society, you know what I mean, when I was 17. And at the same time, I was running around with my city friends, you know, skateboarding and listening to kind of the beginnings of hip-hop, you know, and really tuning into, you know, Power 99 FM and listening to Lady B a street beat on Friday night and listening to the birth of this new kind of really vibrant, the music of now. So I was totally engaged by both this very traditional music, the folk music and blues music, and then also this hip hop, which was going on. And then they just collided. One night I was a street musician, and I was probably like 17 or 18. And I was sitting out on the corner of 2nd and Lombard, and I had finished playing this kind of blues riff that I had written, and then I started rapping the lyrics from Eric B. and Rakim's Paid in Full over it, and that was kind of my musical epiphany, you know.
Were you a big Schoolie D fan?
You know, I was, everybody was a big Schoolie D fan, and I definitely remember when we first got I had moved to Boston, and because in Philadelphia, I kept getting harassed by the police on South Street. You could play out on the street unless they didn't want you to play, and then you had no legal recourse to, you know, it was illegal, so you could get booted. In Boston, you could get a permit, so that's why I moved up there, so I could hone my crafts on the streets up there in Harvard Square. And when I got discovered back out of Philly in Rough House Records, which is on, you know, 3rd and Callow Hill. And, you know, I'll never forget walking in there those first couple of times because Schoolie D was making a new record for Rough House, and the Roots were down there, and, you know, the Goats were there, and it was just this amazing scene, and I remember being like, oh man, that's Schoolie D. You know?
Wow.
And then years later, our kids are playing at Three Bears Park.
Wow, really? Oh, that's cool. G Love is our guest today, and you want to do something else from this new one?
Yeah, I will. It's a song called Heaven.
Thank you.
G-Love live on the Cafe today, and that sounds like another love song.
Yeah, that's a love song.
Well, you know, there we mentioned there were a bunch of covers on the new album, Fixin' to Die. And what's interesting is there are a couple songs in there that kind of don't fit the Roots theme, but work so well. And I just love to talk about it. The Paul Simon tune.
Yeah, this one was one that my manager had been trying to get me to play for years as a live cover. You know, because we do some covers, but they're mostly like old Jimmy Reed tunes or, you know, Robert Johnson tunes. And the most famous cover I have done up to this point is Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice, which is always like a big, you know, good live hit for us. But Jay, my manager, is always like, man, you should play 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover Out. Nah, I don't think so. I'm not going to do that one. Well, do you want to try this tour? Nah, I'm not going to try this tour. And finally, we decided that once we were going to put a couple covers on the record, that we said, well, why don't we do a cover of a hit? He said, I know you can't write a hit, but why don't you do someone else's? So we did. So I said, all right. So we were real kind of, you know, analytical or market researchable about this. We decided we'd pull up like the number one hits from 20 years ago and look at all the number one hits from that year. And unfortunately, that was like, you know, 1989. That wasn't far enough back for us. So, but anyhow, we said, well, let's do the 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, and we did something a little bit different with it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
The problem's all inside your head, she said to me. The answer's easy if we take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, G-Love's version of that one's from Fixin' to Die. And now the title track of Fixin' to Die, not so unusual because, you know, kind of blues tune that you've known to do in the past. Was this one your idea or this came from the Avids?
Yeah, no, Fixin' to Die is an old Book of White tune. I learned it off of Bob Dylan's self-titled debut record, and that's one of my favorite records. And I had been playing this one for years and years, and it would drift in and out of my solo set. This past summer, I got an opportunity to go on tour with Jack Johnson, and they wanted me to come out solo acoustic. So it really helped guide things into the recording for me, doing that solo acoustic set for big crowds. And, you know, it enabled me to put some heavier material in my set, and Fixin' to Die was one of those. And also Hard Time Killing Floor by Skip James was another one that I played a lot this summer. But we felt like Fixin' to Die, it's really kind of a dark and driving tune, and the notion of Fixin' to Die is that, you know, it's not so much that you mind dying, it's that you don't want to leave your children behind. And you know, as a father, that was an emotion that was easy to tap into. I'm definitely not planning on dying anytime soon, but you know, you always want to, when you're doing a song or writing a song or performing a song, you want to always try and, you know, find something in it that you can really emotionally connect with. And that song is real easy for me.
You do that one?
Yeah.
Feeling funny in my mind, Lord, I believe I'm fixed in a day. Feeling funny in my mind, Lord, believe I'm fixed in a day. Well, I don't mind dying, but I hate to leave my children crying. When I'm walking kind of funny, Lord, believe I'm fixed in a die. Yet I'm walking kind of funny, Lord, believe I'm fixed in a die. Well, I don't mind dying, yeah, I'd hate to leave my children crying. Well, look over yonder one. That very round. walk over yonder wall to that burying ground. Well, it sure seems lonesome though, yeah, when that sun is sinking down.
Very nice. Fixing to Die, finishing up our session today. G-Love Solo, thanks to our World Cafe special producers, and thanks to G-Love.
Thank you, David, and thanks to everybody out here at XPN and Philly.
World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.